It's time for the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lai. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Lott.
Okay, so you believe that you have evidence that the Earth is hollow. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Yes. There's a substantial amount of scientific, scriptural, and historical evidence that our Earth is hollow. And I've been studying the theory since about 1975. And I first learned about it when I was working on a farm in New Mexico when I was 16 years old. And the ranch manager, he had learned about it from Raymond Bonnard's book, Hollow Earth, and he thought it was an ideal place for the Lord to hide the lost 10 tribes, and so that kind of piqued my interest, and years later, I started an investigation to see if there was any thing to the theory, and so my research has led to into the scientific area, the historical, and the scriptural.
Well, reading some of the documentation off your website there, it says the discovery of a verdant green land in the Arctic by Arctic explorer Richard Evelyn Byrd was reported to reach a distance about 1,700 statute miles. Is that down, or is that on the North Pole, or where is that? What's that point?
Well, my estimate of where the North Polar Opening is located is at 84.4 north latitude and 141 east longitude. The way I came by this is based on some research done by Jan Lomprecht of South Africa from his book, Hollow Planets. He analyzed the sightings of mirage seen around the Arctic Ocean. He talks about the Russians having sighted a mirage of land north of the New Siberian Islands. They call it the Sannikov Land. Admiral Perry sighted a mirage of land northwest of Ellesmere Island in northern Canada. Along with Macmillan and Lieutenant Green and some Eskimos. Then Captain Keenan, he sighted land from Harrison Bay, Alaska, towards the northwest. And so I just drew lines in those directions, and where they crossed was at 84.4 north latitude, 141 east longitude, which happens to be a little bit farther east than where Nansen went on his trip across the pole in his ship, the Fram, in which he saw a lot of anomalous happenings when he was looking for Sannikov Land.
Okay.
I think that of any of the Arctic explorers, he came the closest one to the polar opening without actually going in it.
Okay, right, and we'll go ahead and go to break. You stay with us through the break, and we'll get right back to you right after
sure.
This, okay?
Sure enough.
Tune in, buckle up, and get ready for a ride on the Edge Radio broadcast. Your mission commander is Daniel Ott.
Okay, we're back here on the Edge. This evening, we have Ronnie Gluff on the line. Ronnie, go ahead and tell about more of the position of the Hollow Earth entrance.
Yes, I was explaining that mirages of land have been seen in the Arctic from around the Arctic, all in the same direction. And I have triangulated those sightings, given us the coordinates of the most likely location of the North Polar opening. Now, a person needs to understand that a mirage in the Arctic is exactly the opposite as down here in the lower latitudes. Down here in the lower latitudes, you look down a highway, and heat arising off the highway creates a layer of air that reflects the sky. So you look down at that layer, and you're seeing like water, which is actually, you're seeing the sky, the blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
Up in the Arctic, warm air coming out of the hollow earth through the polar opening rises up above the ice, above you. So when you look up and you see land, it's actually land. It's reflecting from the ground up to that layer of air and down to you. So people that have seen mirages in the Arctic of this land are like Admiral Perry. On his way to the pole in 1909, mm-hmm. he saw land, mirage of land northwest of his direction from Ellesmere Island, northern Canada. And he later on, Macmillan actually went out on the ice looking for that that land. He called Crocker Land.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Cook, on his way to the North Pole a couple of years earlier, 1906, took a picture of that land. He called it Bradley Land.
Mm-hmm.
It's in his book. And then you have Captain Keenan from Harrison Bay and some Eskimos. They've seen this mirage of land northwest of Harrison Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done is just triangulated, I just took a map of the Arctic, and I drew lines in the direction that this mirage has been seen. North of the New Siberian Islands, northwest of Harrison Bay, Alaska, northwest of Ellesmere Island, northern Canada.
Okay, so you're going to set sail with some sort of expedition cruise to this position?
Yes, I was contacted by Steve Curry of the expedition company of Provo, Utah. He said that when he was about 15, his father had come upon Raymond Bonnard's book, Hollow Earth, and he started up this company, expedition company, in order to someday mount an expedition to the Hollow Earth. His family didn't take him seriously, but over the years they built a successful expedition company.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in business about 30 years. About 1999, year 2000, mm-hmm. Steve Curry took an expedition down the Tsongpo River mm-hmm. in Tibet.
So are you looking for a land, or are you looking for an entry point to make an expedition to descend in the earth?
Oh, yes. We're taking a Russian nuclear icebreaker that we've chartered into the Arctic Sea. And we're taking the first one, 108 people that are willing to go along on this historic adventure. And we're going to find the North Polar opening and go through it.
Well, you know, I don't know about the listeners, but I certainly am intrigued by somebody who's willing to take some adventurous steps out there to do something way out of the box like you're doing. So I applaud you for that. I think we all need to get out of our own little worlds and try to see, you know, is there more to what we see on this earth? Are there, you know, every day they're discovering new life forms. So everything that can be discovered has not been discovered.
Well, and, over the years, people have told me, why don't you just go up there and check it out? And so we're giving the opportunity to all those people that have said this. Let's go. We've got an expedition company. Steve Curry's chartered the Yamal, a nuclear icebreaker. It's a state-of-the-art craft that has 4 years of range of nuclear power, 70,000 horsepower, and cut through 15 feet of ice and the average ice thickness in the Arctic is 6 to 9 feet thick. So, and there's lots of leads in the ice up there. And recently, there's been an thinning of the ice. So we don't have any doubt that we will be able to find the mm-hmm. polar opening if we're not posed. Mm-hmm. We'll make it through.
And once you find this polar opening, what do you plan to do?
Well, we expect to be met by the inner Earth inhabitants in one of their craft. We'll ask permission for entrance into their world domain
mm-hmm.
for a friendly visit.
Okay, so you believe that there are friendly folks living in the center of the Earth?
We do.
Would you think there might be some bad folks living in the center of the Earth?
No, the evidence I have, all the people that have gone there and returned, all report that they are friendly people. They're highly advanced. They're more advanced than we are in the sciences. Mm-hmm. They are the source of the majority of the flying saucers seen around the world that come from the North and South Polar openings in defense of their country.
Okay, so you're saying that there are entities living in the center of the Earth?
Yes.
Okay, and you're convinced that these entities are friendly?
Convinced.
Mm-hmm. And what if they are not there, Rodney?
Well, like I say, there's Olaf Jansen and his father who went up there in 1829, came back out. They said they were friendly, very friendly people. Admiral Byrd flew up there in 1929 through both polar openings, and in 1947 through the North Polar opening, 1956. Okay. He said that they were very friendly.
Okay. All right, Ronnie, let's go ahead and go to break. You stay with us through the break. We'll bring you back because I really want to hear what else you have to say, and I'm sure our listeners do too. So we'll be right back with Rodney Cluffs.
Discovering the truth together. You're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott.
And welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. On the line, we have Rodney Clough. Rodney, so you're going on an expedition. Can anybody join that expedition?
Anybody that's got the money. This is not an expedition that is financed by the government, any organization. It's we, the people. Anybody that can buy a ticket, they're welcome to come.
Well, we went ahead and put a link to your website onto ours at theedgeam.com website. They can link onto there, and they can see more about what your plans are. Now, the Russians call this land Sakhanov land. Have they seen this land? Are there Russians that are going to go with you to this expedition?
We have people that are signing on from all over the world. I don't know exactly at the moment, if we have any Russians, I wouldn't be surprised if there is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people from South America, Australia, South Africa, nearly every continent.
Hey, let me see if I can follow this right. What you're saying is, every so often, a mirage of land appears in the North Pole area and at the position that you've mentioned earlier. And when that mirage appears, you plan to meet that mirage, and that be your entry point into the Earth?
We've used the sightings of mirage to triangulate our best estimate of the location of the North Polar opening.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do, we're going to take a couple of gyroscopes that we'll be able to determine when we start to make that dip into the polar opening. And also to correct our trajectory so that we'll be able to go right through the neck.
Okay, how are you going to descend into the Earth? Are there roads? Are there tunnels? Are you going to rappel? How are you getting down there?
Okay, if you logged on my website and click on the top link, and then on the top link of that gives you an image or a diagram of the way we estimate how our Hollow Earth is set up. We estimate that the shell of the Earth is about 800 miles thick from outside to inside, that in the center of the Earth there's a central sun. It's a small sun about 600 miles in diameter. And near the north and south poles, about 84 degrees north and south, is located an opening that goes from the outside to the inside and the gradually curvature into the from the outside to the inside.
Mm-hmm. So you said 800 miles. You're going to travel for 800 miles from the crust of the Earth into the hollow Earth center?
Well, actually, it's about 1,200 miles since it's a gradual curvature from the outside to the inside.
Okay, so how are you going to travel? Do you have like a car or a Humvee? I mean, what type of vehicle are you going to travel that great distance with?
Oh, we've chartered with Steve Curry of the Expedition Company of Provo, Utah, a Russian nuclear icebreaker. This icebreaker has a range of 4 years before it runs out of fuel, and that's plenty enough time to take us several times around the Earth.
The evidence that you said that there is this hollow, what other, you said there have been eyewitness accounts of this land that appears in the Arctic, but then you said that there was other, is there any other evidence? Do you have physical evidence? Has anyone brought anything back from the hollow Earth?
Admiral Byrd brought back a message. When he flew up there in 1947, he flew past the ice, came to a continent covered with lush vegetation. He was sighted by flying saucers who took control of his craft, landed him near an inner Earth city. He was taken to the inner Earth city and interviewed by an official of their government and given a message to bring back to our government, and that was that they opposed our use of nuclear weapons. Apparently, the people inside our whole Earth are the guardians of this planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, from everything I know,
we had just blown up two atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Uh-huh.
They didn't like that, did they?
And they don't want us using nuclear weapons, and I think that's the reason why we have been disarming ever since.
Seems like I've heard other people say that aliens don't appreciate what we do to the planet either. I guess there's a whole bunch of people out there looking out for us, aren't there?
Well, if you look on Dr. Greer's website, disclosureproject.org, you'll get some pretty interesting expert witnesses. One of them said that we sent a nuclear missile to the moon, was intercepted by aliens.
I've heard that report, yes.
Flying saucers have also intercepted a missile sent up over the Pacific. They took a picture of it, movie picture of it. Flying saucer swooped down from space and intercepted it, knocked it out of the sky.
Well, I have to give you kudos because you certainly the amount of effort that you're going on this expedition proves that it's not just something you actually believe this, and you're investing your time and money into this. You've got a Russian ship. You've got you've got other people involved with it, so other people have bought into this idea that the Earth is hollow and willing to risk their reputations and their livelihood on this expedition. Is that right?
Yeah, what we're finding is a lot of people have planned their expedition and they're joining ours because ours is the cheapest and safest way to go.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying there's more than one expedition to the hollow Earth?
Yeah, we're finding lots of people that say that they have been planning an expedition for years, and they're just going to join ours.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say to those folks that believe that the inside of the Earth may have, let's just say, negative forces, those demon type of entities? You don't agree with that?
Yeah, I've studied the spiritual side of the hollow Earth, and the scriptures support the hollow Earth theory.
Based on what?
based on the location of hell and paradise. Olaf Jensen, who went into the hollow Earth in 1829. He stayed there 2 years with his father and returned by the South Polar Opening.
Mm-hmm.
He says that the inner Earth people told him that the inner sun is the location of the throne of Jehovah, which is the God of the Israelites.
Is that right? So
which makes me believe that they are the lost tribes, lost 10 tribes of Israel.
Now, this is different from the 144,000 that I read about.
Well, the 144,000 are a group of missionaries that will come from each of the tribes of Israel in the last great missionary effort to prepare the world for the coming of the Lord Savior Christ.
I may have to object to that one, but I tell you what, Rodney, let me object here right after this. We'll be right back.
Sure enough.
You're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott.
Okay, welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. We have Rodney Clough on the line, and Rodney is going to have an expedition to the center of the Earth. Right, Rodney?
That's right. We're asking for everybody that's ever studied or interested in the hollow Earth theory to come along with us.
Do you believe that other planets are hollow as well?
Yes, definitely. Even the moons.
Where do you think the molten core comes from, the magma and the volcanoes? Where does that come from?
Volcanic action is caused by the reaction of original space dust and deposits within the Earth that come in contact with water,
mm-hmm.
caused by earthquakes. And the proof is in the tectonic system. If you study the tectonic system, you find out that the location of the most highest concentration of earthquakes is down the mid-Atlantic ridge, and all the places where there's the most extrusion of lava.
Mm-hmm.
If it was plastic or if it was lava, how could it be causing? How could earthquakes be occurring there?
Mm-hmm.
It's because earthquakes just open up the water, let it down into the cracks where original space dust reacts with water. Like you bring phosphorus or sodium or sulfur in contact with water, and it explodes immediately.
So that's where. So this is above the. So all this action is going above the actual hollow Earth sky, and between Earth crust.
The deepest that any earthquakes have been found is about 450. Kilometers down, and below that, the density of the Earth is such that no earthquakes occur below that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one fact that I gave earlier in the show when I was announcing that you were going to be on the line, I told people that the furthest we've ever drilled, as far as I know, is 7 miles deep. So really, anything below that is really speculation. So really, your theory is just as valid as somebody who says there's a molten core. That's just a drawing on a textbook, isn't it?
There's absolutely no evidence of a molten core. Earthquakes, whenever there's a big earthquake, the Earth vibrates and rings like a bell. You can find that right in Encyclopedia Britannica, or any college textbook will tell you that the Earth rings like a bell. A bell is hollow, and it won't ring if it's full of molten lava.
Well, what if you begin to travel down into inner space, and then let's just say the entities that exist there, well, they turn against you. Is it possible they hold you captive and all the people with your expedition?
We have no worry about that. All the precedent of all those who've been there and returned have been that they are a friendly people to those who are friendly going there.
Would you consider any of these descendants of the Atlanteans?
My position is that they are the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and very possibly, some of the lost Viking colonists that colonized Greenland.
And why did they go underground?
They were led there by, the 10 tribes were led there by a prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe definitely that the Lost 10 tribes have the throne of King David, mm-hmm. which is promised
I'm pretty sure
never be taken from the earth.
I'm pretty sure our more enlightened listeners would pretty much know where that's heading there. Well, I tell you what, so you're going to be heading down into the inner earth, and you say there's a sun and there's clouds and a lot of friendly beings, and you say that you're going to join them and it's going to be a happy reunion. Well, we hope for the best there, and you know, after your expedition, I know you've been on several other radio shows around the country. Well, email the Edge Radio, theedgeam.com. Just email us the results of your expedition, and of course, I'll keep tabs on your website there. And
we'll then, keep updates on our website of the expedition as it goes along and what we find.
Now, are you going to have wireless internet as you descend into the earth, so you can transmit back out, or how?
Steve is going to bring along his sat telephone. And we'll have web updates, and also we plan to take a we have an explorer that one of the biggest greatest explorers of in the recent history going along with us.
And who was that again?
I forget his name right off my head, but he has connections with the IMAX Corporation, and he expects to do an IMAX movie of the trip.
Okay, so it's all going to be recorded.
Uh-huh.
And do you speculate that these beings will allow you to record them?
We're hoping that they will. We expect that in the near future is when they are planning on coming out to the outer world and making themselves known. And we're hoping that this will be the initiation of that.
Well, if the Earthmen battle them, you think they would win in a battle?
Absolutely.
Because they have more advanced technology?
Yeah, they're several thousand years more advanced than us.
Hmm. Well, you think there would be more evidence? Maybe they could transmit right over our airwaves. Maybe they could broadcast and just take over our airwaves and just tell us what they want.
They can do that.
But they haven't.
They can do that. Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, that's what the Edge is all about here, to give alternative theories. And, Rodney, you certainly have a place at the table. It sounds like you've done your homework there. So, you know, if we want to have you back on the show, you'd be happy to come back?
Sure enough.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Rodney. And you've been listening to Rodney Glough, and he believes that the Earth is hollow, and he is going to go on an expedition to the center of the Earth. And of course, if you'd like to join him, well, certainly you may just go ahead and do that. Hey, you've been listening to the Edge Radio broadcast. My name's Daniel Ott. Boy, you can get more alternative theories like that. You won't get that kind of theory anywhere now, will you? You tune back in here next Saturday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for the Edge Radio broadcast, and we'll see you on the Edge.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.